been a little bit of time that Jackie and Jenny May have come to us and just really wanted us to meet Charlotte and hear her story and just the amazing surrendered life and work God has done in and through her. And so this just seemed like the perfect place to just step into the very sermon of Jesus, the very prayer of Jesus, and see practically what does that look like when someone says yes and someone goes out and the message is given and the message is received. And you're going to be very, very blessed. So first I want to introduce, this is Jackie Ensminger, if you don't know Jackie. Jackie's been part of our women's ministry for many, many years in many capacities. And her and Ron serve faithfully here. And she and Jenny May and some of their friends that are here today do a ministry called Go-Go Ministry. We're going to hear about that this morning. But will you please give a very, very, she's going to introduce Charlotte. But would you give a warm welcome to Jackie and Charlotte, please?
Thanks, Yvonne. Last minute, I grabbed about 9 out of 10,000 pictures for you, and we'll just have them on the screen. We're not going to talk about them, but I thought you might like to see some of the pictures that I've taken on our trip to Malawi, and those of you that went with us, you may see yourself in some of those pictures. Hope you don't mind which ones I picked. So I met Charlotte when I was 19 years old, and I was literally at the end of my rope, and thankfully Charlotte was there to share with me that the Lord had an abundant life for me, and that the Lord wanted to be the Lord of my life. He wanted to take charge and make sense of it, and I'm so thankful for that day. Thank you, Charlotte.
God put it together.
Yeah, he did. He did. And then all those years later, the Lord brought us back together in ministry, and we are amazed at his goodness. Yeah, it's so fun to work with you. It's amazing.
Well, Jackie's been a part of it in so many different ways.
Yeah.
On site when I was in Malawi, but also behind the scenes. She's our treasurer. And so she's always there,
yeah,
making sure
you.
That things are in order.
Yeah, but and, enough about me. Let's talk about Charlotte. Now, I know that you have been many places, not just Malawi, but amazingly, when you were all ready to retire, the Lord wasn't done, right? So how did he get you to Malawi?
Well, we were 60 years old at the time, and you know, the time when everybody is thinking of retiring, and we visited our son, who was with USAID at the time, in the country of Malawi, living there with his family, and it was a time when USAID was really, really healthy and good and doing such wonderful work. And so we wanted to go visit him, so we did go at Christmas time. And just before we left, someone called him and said, your dad, you know, has taught at universities and colleges. Would he come here and do some teaching? We have a faculty member that is in the religious studies department that is going out for a study leave, and we need to fill that space in for a year. So no one had to ask him twice. We had never taken a sabbatical and had been, you know, in Christian work kind of 24/7. And so he said yes. And so it was for 1 year. And that 1 year became 30.
So what advice would you have for a woman who might be thinking about going on the mission field?
Oh, just go. Don't think about it that much. Just, yeah. If that's where God wants you and you know that, then you go. You don't have to say, well, what am I going to do? Or am I really prepared for this? What do I need to do to go? You know, all those things will happen and you will have those questions. But don't let lots of questions deter you from moving wherever it is even if it's just talking to a neighbor or something here, if God wants you to do something, you just do it, don't we?
Mm-hmm. We have a lot of women here who would agree with you that you just go. You don't ask questions. You just go. Yeah, and we're so glad you did. Do you have any good advice or any good stories about God's faithfulness to you while you were on Malawi?
Well, just know that, you know, I was just an ordinary woman and wonderfully enjoying being a homemaker and a mother and then a grandmother and now a great-grandmother. And it just, you know, when God taps you on the shoulder, basically, and says, you know, how about doing this different, something different, then you just say yes and are blessed. And I guess that's what we did, because it was with my husband, actually, you know, just to go for 1 year to Malawi. Now, we had been doing missionary work. He had left the business world, and we were full-time in Christian work. But this was really something new. And so, but we did say yes for 1 year, which, as I said, became 30, and was just, I wouldn't trade it for anything.
You know, so you, when you went over there, it was because Dick knew why he was going, but you didn't know why, other than the fact that you were going with Dick, the Lord was going to use you. Tell us some of the things that the Lord had waiting for you to do when you got there.
I know, and maybe some of you are in that kind of a place, is frustrating, you know, what does God want me to do? And he was teaching, and we knew that God had really called him for that 1 year to teach at the university. Well, guess what I was doing? Cross-stitching. You know, there I am, a missionary cross-stitching. And so, yeah, but I did do a wonderful stocking. That was ABCs all the way from angels down to Z's for sleeping. Anyway, so that's one of my memories, physical memories that I hang every year. But anyway, it was a wonderful first year. But then people knew that I had sort of a background in early childhood development. That was my major, and I had a master's degree in it. And so the university found that out, and they needed someone. Well, I didn't know why I went back to school when I was 50 and got a master's degree. It was just because I happened to, at that time, have the time, and I could drive to Long Beach State and, you know, do a two-year course. So I thought, fun, let's do that. You know, I have the time to do it this time of my life. Not knowing that God would use it later, and that if I hadn't had it, I wouldn't have been eligible to teach. So, you know, how God puts things together, isn't it wonderful? We don't know when things are happening. If we just are there and available to him, he puts it all together. So anyway, because of that master's degree, I was able to teach. And so I did in the home economics department, which was my major. And but not the cooking and sewing kind of stuff. Mine was child development and family resource management and that aspect of home economics. And so they needed someone at University of Malawi. And they didn't have, they needed somebody in the family area, but they didn't have a course in early childhood development. And in a country where 35% of the children have malnutrition, and, you know, there are so many psychosocial needs and environmental needs. And so, anyway, so I started teaching. And it was absolutely wonderful. God opened doors through that.
Can you tell us a little bit about the CBCCs, what that stands for, and how that got started?
Well, the CBCCs stand for
community-based child care.
So it's community-based child care. And this is in the villages. There were a few preschools in the cities for professional people and for their children, but nothing in the villages. The government had done nothing. And so since I was teaching, I took my students, and we had a little RAV4, a little one. It was like three doors, you know, the two doors and then the one that opened in the back. And I just would cram students in the back. We had eight in that little tiny RAV4 at one time, and I'd take them out to the village, and we started these village preschools with the students because they were learning about the things theoretically, and so this gave them an opportunity. And I didn't know the language, and so they were the mouthpiece. And so it gave them a great opportunity, and they've continued. It's so wonderful. One of my students is now assistant director of the Ministry of Education for the country. And so, you know, he's having a great effect, and he's a believer. So, you know, you just never know when you just kind of, your life bumps against somebody. And anyway, it's been fun to see that happen. But so anyway, what was your question?
I think you answered it. How many CBCCs do we have now?
Gosh, Leslie, how many do we have? 20? 20.
Yeah.
Leslie 20. Lewis is our U.S. coordinator. So if you have any questions, you can always get to her through Jackie. I'm here, and I kind of do international things, but she's the one that really knows what's happening on the ground.
Yeah.
I just get good stories and things. But anyway, so it's.
So I'm thinking once a missionary, always, you never leave. You're always a missionary, right? And so how's the Lord using you even now?
Well, each one of us in this room, we're either a missionary or a mission field.
That's right.
Aren't we?
That's right.
So, you know, maybe we're a missionary kind of retired, or maybe just plain tired and not doing anything. But anyway, that's, you know, that's what we have available. And so our life is a mission. You know, it reflects that we love the Lord and that we want others to know him. Yeah.
Were you surprised by anything that you found in Malawi? Was there anything that you weren't expecting or that you didn't know?
Lots of things, really. Some of the things. Jackie says, don't talk about the gross things. But
maybe you could tell them one gross thing.
Well,
don't scare them off, though.
There are lots of them, but I mean, one time I had a pimple right here, and so, you know, I was scratching it, and guess what? Out walked a worm. So something had laid their egg, you know, right there. But I had to, when I hung something on the line and it was wet, I had to make sure that when it was dry even, it had to be ironed. It had to get heat on it to kill any of the eggs. So, see, that's what happened. Evidently, the piece of elastic or something didn't get ironed. And so, you know, there was an egg there that got laid on my skin. Anyway, so, you know, that kind of thing was, I had to get used to. And then also, you know, someone carrying, and first time it happened, this man with lots of logs and wood on his head came up to sell me some wood. And I realized that it was for my hot water heater. It was fired by, you know, by wood, by a fire. And So, you know, there were just lots of kind of different things when I first moved there. And yet I moved to a lovely house that the university supplied that had been built by the British when they were colonizing. But it still didn't have a lot of modern, you know, plumbing and things available. So it was because Malawi is a small nation. It's a very poor nation. It's one of the poorest nations in the world. And so really do pray for the Christians and pray for the education, pray for the young Christians that they make a difference in a country that so needs to develop, to really develop. And yet it has the most wonderful, peace-loving, never have had a conflict of any kind. Mm-hmm. And wonderful people.
Yeah. You know, I was surprised at some of the things that missionaries do. I don't think I really had a very good idea of what a missionary does. Maybe I thought you sat around and read your Bible and read it to people. I didn't know. I was surprised about the practical help that you and Dick brought to Malawi. And when we met Stephen
Carr.
Yeah, who works with the, trying to help with the agricultural side of things. We met a lovely friend of theirs who was also a missionary there. What are some of the practical things that you and Dick were able to do when you were there?
Well, this particular person had was English, and his degree was in agriculture, and so he had really quite an effect. He had actually, and this shows what people can do with the things that God has given them, and he was a believer. But he had developed a particular soybean for that particular soil. And so, you know, that was just a blessing because soy can give a nation protein if they don't have protein in other ways. Mm-hmm. And so that was really a blessing to Malawi. And they became very good friends of ours. Mm-hmm. They were missionaries from, like I said, from England. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's just, I think a lot of missionaries are prepared in certain ways, but it's kind of who you are and what you know how to do things, what you know to do. So, you know, I'm just an ordinary person and you know, ordinary mother and housewife, homemaker, I like to say. And so anyway, but God used that because I was able to meet with lots of Malawi women and discuss what it is, you know, to let the Lord guide our lives as homemakers and what's important to him and, you know, in our lives and in our children's lives. And anyway, it was really a fun time. So besides teaching at the university, because I happen to have this master's degree, then, you know, I was able to just have a circle of friends, Malawi friends that still are mine. I mean, I hear from them regularly by phone, texting. It's wonderful to still. And those are Malawians. They're not expatriates. And sometimes...
Do you want to explain what an expatriate is? Some of us may not have heard that term before. Expatriate, what is that?
Well, that's, you know, those of us that come from another country. So our patriotism is, you know, mine is to America, I mean to U.S. And others to, I mean, we have lots of people there from Canada, from Great Britain, from Germany, and... So they're all expats or expatriates, you know, from another country. But anyway, I just enjoyed wonderful friendship with Malawians. I just loved it. And actually, four of my friends, their husbands were ambassadors, Malawi ambassadors to other nations.
Wow.
Japan and UK and one to the US and one to the UN. Anyway, so they had interesting lives, you know, and it was really a joy. I loved my life in Malawi and spent 30 years there. So, you know, it was home.
So you're back in the States. How long have you been back?
This is what? Third, fourth year now, I think.
You were the last one. You got on the last plane out.
2018.
Beginning of COVID.
5 years.
Your family wanted you to come home, right? Because of the COVID epidemic.
Yes. It was my adult children that said, okay, Mom, just come home. You know, COVID, you don't have health care there to take care of you. They're not, you know, inhalators or whatever. Just, you know, it's really very,
so,
the health care is not good.
Was the Lord done with you after you got back?
So I got back here, and here I am. I'm still here. So,
you were all done. No more ministry, no more missions when you got back, or did you?
Well, I'm still really involved with...
That's what I'm getting at.
I'm still involved with, you know, with people there because I'd been involved with them for so many years.
Charlotte gets up early in the morning twice a week to help tutor middle school children in Malawi.
That's just with some students that are trying to pass a national exam to do.
And their tests are very hard. Unlike our tests, they're hard to pass.
Anyway, so for 4 o'clock their time to meet, we have to meet at 6 o'clock in the morning. And for 4 o'clock p.m. there, it's 6 o'clock here.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's really been a joy, though, you know, to meet with them and to see that these are 8th graders and to see how they, if they pass, because they don't just go to high school. They have to be selected, and it depends on how they did with this national exam. Mm-hmm. And so this is to help the this small group, and they're believers, and they're ones that our staff have worked with, because we have a Malawian staff and a whole team. And so anyway, it's been a joy.
I think another thing that surprised me about the mission field in Malawi is I was expecting I don't know why I thought this, but I was expecting that they would all be Christians that you were working with, but as it turns out, there's a lot of Muslims as well that you were ministering to.
And well, 14% of the population when I left, 14% were Muslims.
Yeah.
But they aren't strong. It's not a strong... I mean, there are mosques, yes, in every kind of major, area. But
do you think it was hard? Is it hard to minister to Muslims? Is it hard to lead them to the Lord? I mean, how does that work?
Well, there's not particularly an outreach to Muslims by Christians that are there.
It's sort of
an accepted thing. Yeah. However, we have seen Muslims in our CBCs, the children's ministries, as well as the go-go ministries, and our other school ministries, because we have, and some of you don't know that too about us, that we have, in fact, the Ministry of SAFE, the parent organization is SAFE, started in the schools with a ministry to help kids say no to sexual pressures. It was called Why Wait? With a big question mark. Why wait? Because you're special and worth waiting for. Well, why are you special? Because you've been made in the image of God, both male and female. And that was the mantra, and we kind of really emphasized both male and female because females were really kind of looked down upon. In a lot of African countries, Malawi included. And so that kind of raised them up to the same level as males. Anyway.
So from the Why Wait ministry was the first, then came Go-Go Grandmothers. And how did that get started?
What came next after? The preschool came before Go-Go Grandmothers.
Okay.
Because I was teaching early childhood development in the university, and that's when I took my students out. And we started the first preschool at mm-hmm. the Kungala village. And then now it's gone to 20 villages. And these are large villages that have, I mean, they're not just a few people. They're many people. And there are small villages within that village.
Yeah. Okay, so tell us a little bit about Go-Go Grandmothers. What do you...
So that began because of the preschools first, and I noticed that there were grandmothers picking up the children from the village preschools. And so I started investigating why so many grandmothers were doing that. And it was because the preschoolers were living with the grandmother or grandparents, if the grandfather was alive, and in the village. And oftentimes they were city children whose parents had died due to the AIDS pandemic, because the AIDS pandemic there hit the most productive segment of society, the like 20 to 35 group. It really hit. And there was a lot of death due to HIV and AIDS. And so the children were sent back to the village, to the grandparents, to raise them. And then that's why I would see the grandparents picking them up. You know.
So what are some of the things that we do for the grandparents and for the children?
Were their grandparents?
What are some of the things that we're able to do to help them?
Yeah, it was a good relationship with the grandparents and grandchildren, you know, and I'd seen them in their home and visited them in their home, too. So, you know, I knew that it was a good relationship. It was something you just had to be because the parents were dying.
Mm-hmm.
And, and so that's why we started Go-Go Grandmothers, because I thought, these grandparents are so... They're so worked at their age because they also were the ones that are doing the farming. You know, some of you have helped with fertilizer. You've prayed for them during the harvest time and planting mm-hmm. time and prayed for their harvest. And, you know, they really do. I mean, they're the breadwinners. The women are more so than the men. And so whatever you've done, your prayers, you're giving whatever you've done to help. It has really been a help.
Yeah.
I mean, there is such a need to just pray for these grandmothers that have so much on their plate. When mm-hmm. they thought that, you know, just like you all, some of you or myself, you know, that a grandmother, well, it's a time that we can kind of sit back a little bit and rest and enjoy our grandchildren. Well, it's not true there. They probably are enjoying their grandchildren, but they have huge responsibilities to them,
mm-hmm.
you know, with them coming to live with them in a village where they can't just go to a store and buy food if they need it. It has to be something that they've grown. There just aren't stores around even.
Mm-hmm.
And I've often thought, what would I do if I had grandchildren and knew I had to feed them and I had to provide the food?
Mm-hmm.
I had to grow it.
Mm-hmm.
Or else in some way have a small cottage industry, even just people make like, they're called mandazis, they're like little donuts, and sell those, you know, just to be able to buy the really necessities
mm-hmm.
of life. It's a whole different culture.
Well, I also heard that the attitude, maybe it's all of Africa, but in Malawi, the attitude towards the old women, towards the grandmothers was...
Now, what do you say?
I heard that the attitude towards grandparents, especially women, was bad. But because of go-go grandmothers, they've been elevated. They are not as looked down upon.
They do. They have a place in the whole village community, whereas, excuse me, they were set aside, kind of, you know, expected to be taken care of by their relatives.
But also considered even to be witches, right? Or am I wrong? Weren't they also considered to be, I mean, it was superstition, right?
Well, sometimes, yeah, that was, you know, that was just in some village situations, people would be against someone and say, oh, well, they're involved in witchcraft or they're, you know, they're a witch. And, you know, people didn't believe all that.
Can you talk about the discipleship program that we have with the grandparents?
The what program?
Discipleship.
Discipleship? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do a discipleship with the go-go grandmothers.
Yeah. And they actually meet together and pray for us, right? That's pretty amazing.
So, anyway, they do. They really do pray for those because they know that there are those of us here in America, and they always call us America, not United States, but anyway, in America, that, you know, that pray for them and provide for them because you all have helped raise funds for fertilizer when they've needed, because the soil is so depleted, it really needs to be boosted to get a better harvest. And there is one harvest, there's only one rainy season in Malawi, as opposed to some countries like in Kenya, there are two, only one rainy season. And so they really have to trust the Lord for good rains. And so at the right time, too, because there are just certain times that they don't want rain and other times when it's definitely needed. So it's really an opportunity to, you know, to really trust the Lord for, you know, for life, existence.
Okay, so we have a few minutes left, and I know that you have also been to Uganda, and we have a missions trip getting ready here to leave, and I thought you might like to share a little bit about your experience in Uganda.
Well, that was one of our first mission trips. We were in Malawi, but we were asked to go to Malawi, go to Uganda from Malawi, and do a program of Why Wait. My husband was involved with the Why Wait program with Josh McDowell here in this country, and then so we took it to Africa, and it was different than in this country, but it was Why Wait. Abstinence because you're special and you're worth waiting for. And this was at the height of the AIDS pandemic. So it was really to help the kids from getting infected. And often the girls would be infected by an older man. And so it just was a real help. And the government knew about it. The First Lady had us come to the palace and we had tea and she encouraged us to stay.
Don't you love that? Tea at the palace.
and to write a program for my husband, to write a program for the schools in Malawi to help them to say no. I mean, we still have it. We showed the Jesus film right in the classroom, you know, government schools. And so it's... God just had the timing. I mean, he used that awful, awful pandemic in lots of ways. But one way is that we were able to, you know, get the Why Wait into the country and into all the high schools. Every single high school had a Why Wait program. So anyway, that was wonderful.
That's wonderful. Yeah.
So, you know, it's God's timing. It's all about him, isn't it? You know, when we all think back, we just happened to be in a place where we got to see him work. And I really think that. I mean, I'm just the same as any of you sitting out there. You know, we have our daily routines. We have our children, our grandchildren, some of you with me, great-grandchildren. And, you know, we have our life. But, you know, but God, he uses everything. And he uses us right where we are.
I think that you and Dick are best known for saying, but God. And Dick was also known for saying hi. What did hi stand for?
That's part of our Why Wait program, saying hi.
Because in Malawi, they all say hi. Everybody says hi.
You know, they've caught that really from Americans, but hi. H-I, and so it's his image. So yeah. When you say hi to someone, and you remember that. When you're saying hi to your friend, you're seeing that friend in his image.
Mm-hmm.
And it changes your relationship
sometimes.
And so anyway, that's what it is. However, what I've realized is that when they say hi, and it's written, it's H-I-E. That's just the way they write it.
Oh,
so
funny.
I just say, in his image, everyone.
That's great. That's great. Okay. All right. So is there anything else that you'd like to tell us about yourself or being a missionary or?
Well, just that I think the word missionary we sometimes put into a box, and that's not true, is it? Each one of us here, if we're not a mission field, we're a missionary. And it can be in any way. Our life speaks, our actions speak, our relationships with our family, with people that we just meet at the market, all of those things speak, don't they? And I think that's why it's so important to live every day with Christ in the center of our lives.
Yes, thank you.
And sometimes that's hard, but to start the day and really give it to him and ask his Holy Spirit to really fill us and keep us on the right path through that day,
mm-hmm.
and open doors for us. And so, because it's all about God, it really is. The older I get, I just think, oh, Lord, it's just, you know, we can't claim to be anything, really anything except just, you know, there for you to use. And I don't mean use in, you know, and just use, but I mean to joyfully be a part of his life and his life in us. So anyway, and that's for each one of us. So that, you know, a missionary is, we don't even have to talk about missionaries because all of us are. If we aren't a mission field, we can be all that God wants us to be, a missionary to reach out. And that's all a missionary does, really, is, isn't it? Is to be available to God and available to other people.
Yeah, and it's been such a blessing to have you in my life and then to know that each of us can be a Charlotte to someone else. Yeah.
But, you know, we're just, some of you are more, not as ordinary as others. I mean, like, talented to play. I love the way you strum, you know. And, you know, it just to accept and enjoy each other and what God has given to each other.
So I'm sure some of you are wondering how old Charlotte is. She doesn't mind telling.
I don't mind. I'm really happy at my age. I like being what I am.
And so how old are you?
Well, the end of this month, I'm going to be 95. So.
Yay. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. We're looking forward to knowing you for many more years.
Lord willing.
Many, many
My
more
grandfather
years.
Was 99 when he went to be with the Lord.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
So God's never done with us, right? When he's done, we go home.
I just want to be, and I know you all do too, I just want to be productive, you know? I mean, I want my, you know, I mean, I want. But anyway, Lord, if you keep my mind sharp and alert and my body going, even though it's going, not always the way I want it. Anyway, you know, then, you know, fine. But when I'm not productive, then, Lord, I'm ready. Just yeah. take me
yeah.
Yeah, to be Go. With you.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for letting me come into your lives and into your church. And I know so much, it seems, about this church from Jackie and Ron, and know what a blessing you all are to them as a family, and that's so great. So thank you very much.
Beautiful. Oh, thank you.